Okay, today is Daf Samach Gimel. We're going to start at the bottom of Samach Bet. I'm a bet, four lines from the bottom. Fuashlim ala baras ben Shoshana Dvorah Badino is Avram Shimon ben Chana or the opinion about Recha Frida Chaya Malka Esther bat Zippor Yosef ben Rachele bat Rivka Yael Mirim bat Chaya Yaakov ben Rosa Daphna Chaya bat Sarah Tai Recha bat Samar Sarah Liloy Nishma Chana bat Tara Reza bat Sarah Tzvi Hirsch ben Yaakov HaLevi Umele. We were in the middle of Davar Shelo Bala Olam, right? If can you make some sort of kinyan on something that didn't exist at the time that you said it? So we saw that the basic opinion is no. Now we saw one opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says you can be Makdish Davar Shelo Bala Olam. But remember his example, there was a machloket about his example. What he said is if your stuff is mechubar and you have other stuff that's talush, that's some stuff attached to the ground, some stuff detached, and you say, I want to take truma from my detached stuff from my attached stuff onto the detached stuff, when it is detached, you know, once it gets removed, once I cut it, so then that's fine, you can do that, even if it's not, right, even if it's, 1 second, you said, b'cheshev yeushlish, right, then you want it to happen, so it works. Even if at this point it's not ra'oy to be fruit, right? In other words, he said, I want it to be once it gets to a third and gets detached. Right now it hasn't gotten to a third, so it's not considered fruits at all, or crops or anything. And therefore it's davar shelo bala olam. But then there was a whole machloket and two versions of the same machloket about whether it had to at least be considered ra'oy for an animal to eat. Or even if it wasn't ra'oy for an animal to eat and it was just soft, you know, reeds or something like that, that eventually would grow fruits, would that be enough? Okay, that was his example, and it's unclear exactly. So what we see here is that even though he says you can be makdish davar shelo bala olam, it has to be somewhat in the olam. Right? He wouldn't say that if nothing was growing at all, it would be okay. And also depending on who understood him, whether it needed actually to be ra'oy for some sort of eating or some sort of purpose. So now we're going to see a few different examples of other people. Abaye's Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rebbe, Rabbi Meir, Kulu Sviril Hu Adam Makne Davar Shelo Bala Olam. Okay, if you see that, Dashla Bla. Okay, that's Davar Shelo Bala Olam. So now he's going to say, there's three people who hold this. Later the Gemara is going to question, what do you mean? There's another guy, and there's another guy, what about them? Okay, but in the meantime, we've seen this before, by the way, where there's a Shitat Yachid, so to speak, and then they say, oh, well, by the way, he's not the only one. And there's a few other people who hold like him. So now we're going to have to show where they hold this. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Hadamaran. That was the case we just saw. Rebbe, where does Rebbe say it? Titania, lo tazgir eved el adonav. This means you can't turn over an eved back to his adon. Unclear exactly what the context is, right? It seems like he ran away or he was freed somehow. We don't know exactly. We're going to see Rebbe has an interpretation. Okay, but it means you can't return an Eved to his Adon. Depending on the situation, we don't exactly know. Okay, and what it means is the Beit Din can't do it. The Beit Din can't turn over. If they find this Eved, they can't turn it back to his Adon. So Rebbe Omer, what's the case? Bilokech Eved almanat l'shachriro ha-katub mitaber. What it's talking about is in a case where somebody bought an Eved in order to free him. Okay, so he purchased an Eved saying, I'm going to purchase you in order to free you. Okay, meaning he was trying to, what was he trying to do? He was trying to release, someone had an Eved, and he said, you know what I'll do? In order to release the Eved, I'll buy him from someone, and then I'll release him. Okay, so there it's saying you can't bring the Eved back to his original Adon. So now they say, hey, chidami.
If he's been legally bought from him.
What?
He can't anyway if he's been legally bought from him. What's the point?
He can't.
You can't bring him. Once the slave is released, you can't bring him back to his original master.
He's been released. Anyway. Right. So, what would be the issur? I think what. Oh, so maybe it means. 1 second. No, this is the point. That you might have thought that the shichur isn't relevant. That's the whole point. The point is, you can't return, according to Rebbe, this is the way you read the pasuk, you can't return this eved to his original owner, meaning, in other words, like you said, he's freed. Okay?
Yeah, but he's legally bought from the first owner. Whether or not...
No, because that's the point. Now we're going to say... Okay, we're going to have to say Hechidami. What's the case? Okay? But look, wait 1 minute. Hold off on your question, then we'll explain. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak kigon dekatav lo lekisha et kachecha harei atzmacha knuya lecha me'achshav. Okay? So what are we saying? What he said was, when I purchase you, then you will be freed from now. So now what they're going to say is, he was koneh davar shelo ba'al olam. Okay? Because he wasn't... He didn't own him, so he was trying to free him without actually owning him. And Rabbi Meir claims that that works. Okay, that's his chidush. Normally we'd say this is davar shelo ba'al olam, and it shouldn't work. What Lo Tazgir Eved Al Adonav is teaching you is that it works. According to, again, this is Rabbi Meir's reading of this pasuk Lo Tazgir Eved Al Adonav. That was Rabbi, not Rabbi Meir. I think I said Rabbi Meir, but this is Rabbi's opinion. Now we're up to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Detanya Haomer Li Shahareat Mikudeshet Li La'achar She'etkayer La'achar She'etkayeri. This was our Mishnah, right? But here we're seeing a Braita, and we're going to see Rabbi Meir has a different opinion. La'achar She'etachrer La'achar She'etachreri La'achar She'amupa Alech La'achar She'etamura Chotech La'achar She'echlotzach Yivimech Ena Mikudeshet. So this was all those cases that you'll be betrothed to me after either I convert, he wasn't Jewish, or after she converts, she wasn't Jewish, or after she's freed from slavery, or he's freed, and then they become Jews, or your husband dies, so then I can marry you, or your sister dies, so then it won't be Isur Erva to me, or you did Chalitza with your Yabam, and that way I can marry you. So all these were situations that you know Bala Olam, Rabbi Meir Omer, Mikudeshet. Rabbi Meir holds in this case, it's totally valid, because he thinks you can be do a kinyan on something that's not in existence at this present moment. Okay, interestingly, the Gemara didn't bring it up earlier, right? Well, we started with the Mishnah. But now you see there's an opposing opinion. This is a very strange structure of a Braita, because it says, it starts off with not Mekudeshet, Tanakama, then it says, Rabbi Meir says Mekudeshet. Now it brings another opinion, Rabbi Yochanan Asan La Omer Ena Mekudeshet. It's like ping-ponging back and forth. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer Mekudeshet. It's very strange, right? It doesn't say this one and this one holds Mikudeshet, and this one holds and Mikudeshet. I don't know why it's that structure. Anyway, now what's the Gemara going to say? Umatam. Okay, so now, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, we understand, because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is going to say something a little different. He says she's Mikudeshet, technically, halachically speaking, Ikara Din. However, and this is why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi at least is mentioned separate from Rabbi Meir. I don't know why Rabbi Yochanan Hasan Lar, though it doesn't appear with Tanakama. But here Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, Mekudeshet, umat hamermu, ena mekudeshet, mishum eva. We're worried it's going to create tension if he betroths her and says, when your husband dies, or when your sister dies, or you know, it's going to create a certain amount of tension and unpleasantry. And therefore, really technically, mi'ikara din, she's mekudeshet, but the Chachamim said she's not, because this is going to create a very bad situation.
That'd be dangerous for the husband and the sister.
Right. They'd have a... target on them. Okay. So now, what do we see also? The Gemara is going to say something quite strange. We know that Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, but right now the Gemara is going to assume for a moment that they're not the same person. So now, if you remember, what did he say? Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Rebbe and Rebbe Meir all said, Ena Mekudeshet. But now you see all that you can be Koneh Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi now is another guy, right? Because he also says Mekudeshet. And just for some side reason, it doesn't work. So, B'nichshav Nami Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, why don't we add him to the list? So they say, Hainu Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. These people are the same person. Okay, maybe this is where everybody knows that this is the case, right? He's the same person. Now they're going to suggest, B'nichshav Nami Rabbi Akiva. What about Rabbi Akiva? What's the case here? D'tanya, Konam Shani Oseh L'Picha, Ein Tzarich L'Hafer. A woman makes a neder and she says to her husband, you cannot benefit from anything that I produce. Remember, the husband's supposed to get all her ma'aseh yadayim. So he doesn't need to cancel the neder, because the neder is canceled automatically. Because in the ketubah, one of her commitments to him is that he'll provide her with food and everything else, but she'll provide him with anything she makes, all her salary, so to speak. So now, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva Omer Yafir. He can be made for this neder, and if he wants. In other words, there is a need to be made for. Shema ta'adif alav yeter min ara'oilo. What does this mean? Remember we learned about this? La ha'adafa, we said. That means that if she makes more than a base salary, the base salary has to go to him. But if she makes more, it doesn't necessarily have to go to him. And the neder can be chal on that amount. Okay? So therefore, he can cancel it. So what do you see here? Masei Yadayim is what she's going to make in the future, her salary. Here, they're taking a neder. She's taking a neder on something that's lo bala olam, because it doesn't exist yet. So why don't we say that Rabbi Akiva also holds that? So now they say, Ano, ha'itmar ala, if you remember, we learned this. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yeshua, be'omerit yikadshu yadai la'osehem, v'yadayim itnu ba'olam. When she says my Masei Yadayim, she's not referring specifically to the salary, because the salary is not in existence right now. But what she's saying is, anything my hands do will go to you. Well, her hands are in existence. Okay? What the words mean here, yikadshu yadai la'osehem. My hand, the work of my hands will go to God, basically, to the one who created them, meaning you won't get them. They're konam, right? Konam means basically like hekdesh, like a korban. It's forbidden to the regular people because it's kind of holy. So that's what she's basically saying. And then yadayim are itnihu ba'olam. They exist in the world, and therefore this is not a case of davar shelo ba'la olam. Okay, now we're going to see a new case. Ha'omer li sha, new mishnah, haram mekudeshet li, al menacha daber alayach l'shulton. He says, you're mekudesh at me on account of, I will take care of some legal issue you have with the authorities. Okay? I'll do that. And for the now we're going to talk about a little bit what this means. But it sounds like, so there's going to be two ways to read this mishnah. I'll already preface and tell you. One is that this is just a condition. You know, he gave her a pruta, but almanat sounds like a condition, right? On the condition that I will take care of some legal issue you have. The alternative is to say, no, what he's saying is with the money that you would have paid a lawyer to take care of this, that's what I'm going to betroth you with. Okay, now obviously the issue there is going to become, like we saw before, if you remember, you can't marry a woman based on a loan. Right? A loan, if he lends her money, and then she's supposed to pay back the money, and he says, oh, don't worry, I'll cancel the loan, and with that you'll be betrothed to me. We said that that doesn't work. You remember why? Because she owns the money at that point. Movel hosanitan, she owns it. And when he goes to betroth her, it's basically her money, and it's just canceling some money she owes him, but there's no actual object that belonged to him that's being passed. So it's going to be a question here. Is it not? What's the similarity? So we'll hold off on that soon. We'll get to it soon. Another option, v'seimach kipoel, or I'll do some job for you. Diber aleha l'shulton, if he went and spoke to the authorities. And now there's a whole big machloket whether this means he resolved it or he tried to resolve it. In other words, is it enough that he said, I'll go talk to the authorities? We all know that many times you go to resolve some legal issue and it doesn't work out very well. So did he mean, there's a machloket among the profession, whether it means that he actually has to resolve the issue or it's enough that he went there, right? It actually sounds more like that because a daber alayach l'shulton, right? And why would he make a commitment to something that is beyond his control, whether he can succeed in doing it or not. Anyway, there's a machloket about it. So if he did it, v'asayim o kipoel, or, you know, in the other case, he worked for her, mikudeshet, v'im lav, ena mikudeshet. This is very similar to the previous mishnayot we saw, where he made a commitment. Okay? Amarish lakish, v'hu shenatan la shavet pruta. This only works if he gave her pruta, and it goes like the first reading I had, which is almanat was just a condition. That is very similar to the previous cases, right? Where he made a condition and he fulfilled his condition. If he fulfills it, great. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Ubischar, okay, so now we're going to question this. Ubischar lo, would this not work if he didn't give her a pruta and he just said, I'm going to betroth you with, right, on the condition that I do this and that work I do for you is going to count as the value of what I owe you. Now, why does the Gemara think that Ubischar should work and they go against Rish Lakish? Because there's a braita. The Hatanya doesn't it say in the Braita, Bischar shikarvtich ala chamur, sho shavtich bikaron o bisfina, ena mekudeshet. If he says, I'm going to betroth you with the sachar that I already, in the past, I gave you a donkey ride, or I gave you a ride in a carriage, or in a boat, ena mekudeshet, because that's again like a loan, because it was done already, now she just owes him the money for it. But again, he doesn't own anything that's being transferred. But if he says, b'sachar sha'arkiveh halachamor, I'll do it in the future, right? Then he's actually giving her something. You follow? One is, right, he's just letting her, right, taking care of it later. And therefore, there's no transfer of money or anything, service. Here, there's a transfer of service that hasn't happened yet. So when he does the service with that value, she'll be betrothed. So b'sachar sharkivech alachamor, shel shivech bakaron o b'sfina, mikudeshet, that works. So why does Rish Lakish say that our mission doesn't work? It sounds like it should be the same thing. V'chi tema hachinami b'diav l'shavapruta. Maybe you'd say that Rish Lakish reads that braita in the same way, that he would give her a shavapruta. Now, if you notice, the wording of the braita is different from the wording in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, al-minachu she adaber elayich l'shulton, right? With the words of condition. But this braita says, bisachar shar kivech alachamor, meaning, I will betroth you with the sachar. It's 100% clear from the braita. So therefore, they say, habisachar kamar. So therefore, you can't say that he gave her shavapruta in the braita and that would resolve it. The Rish Lakish would say the same thing. Because in the braita, it definitely works. So why does he say in our mission, you would need a shavapruta? Ve'od. And now we're going to question him further. There's another braita that seems to indicate the same thing. Tanya. Shamin im yesh lo, sorry, skip the line. Shevi mi b'tzavta ve'akadesh lach. Schok lefanai, rekod lefanai, asei kedimus hazeh, shamin. Im yesh lo shavapruta mekudeshet, im lav ena mekudeshet. She says, sit with me, and, sorry, right, she says to him, sit with me, ve'akadesh lach, and I will become betrothed to you. Schok lefanai, rekod lefanai, asei kedimus, and it's due, you know, joke before me, do some sort of performance before me, do a dance performance before me. Kedimus hazeh is unclear exactly what this means. Some people say it actually connects with, there's a different nusach. Rekod lefanai bidimus. A dimus is like a place, like a hall kind of place where they would dance. You know, the Koran has a good note there about the different language things, the linguistics about it. Another option, what was the last option it said there?
It was talking about running races.
Right, so that connects with this, that they would be running races. It was a place where they would do races, so that would be what she was saying in these places. Or maybe he's running races. There was another one that said, yeah.
Make for me something like that edifice.
Right.
It doesn't make any...
Right, so it doesn't connect. Some people say it's a gesture. It's a gesture, in which case it connects with the recall the fanai, right? Like do some form of entertainment. Anyway, whatever it is, he's doing something for her. They evaluate im yesh bo shavapruta mikudeshet. So they evaluate if this performance is valued at a shavapruta, then it's great. If he doesn't know what he's doing and it's a terrible performance and it's not valued at anything, nobody would pay money for this, then obviously she's ena mikudeshet. So again, conflict for Rish Lakish, it sounds like you can use a service to betroth someone. V'chi tema hachanami b'diav l'shavapruta, right? Could you say that here? No. Because what does it say here? Vahash shamino toka amar. It says we evaluate, and if it has a shavapruta, yes. If not, not. So clearly there wasn't any other shavapruta transferring hands here. So what do they say? They say tshuv to Rish Lakish. So it's a question. Here's his answer. Amar lecha Rish Lakish, hai tana bara. Okay, here's an interesting. We don't usually see this, but bara comes from braita. The tana of the braita. Okay, in this case, it's both braitot. Savar ena l'schirut ela levasof. V'tana didan savar yeshna l'schirut mitchila va'ad sof. How does this work? When it means ena l'schirut ela levasof, it means that when you hire someone to do work, the chiyuv of the payment only happens at the very end. Okay? As opposed to, okay, that's yeshna l'schirut ela levasof. If you say leshna l'schirut mitchila va'ad sof, it means if someone's doing work for you, the clock starts ticking immediately. You're already chayav on the beginning part, when he starts the work. We've seen this issue come up before. Now, what's the relevance here? If you say, yesh l'schirut mitchila v'ad sof, what does that mean? It means that as he's doing the work, the clock starts ticking, and therefore, when she pays him at the end, it's like paying back a loan, because the money, right, the chiyuv starts immediately. Whereas if you say, ein l'schirut ela l'vasof, then the chiyuv only happens at the end, and then you can say that he can betroth her with this, and once you pay, right, the payment will only be at the end, and then that will all go to him. Umay duchka. So then he's basically saying that the different tana'im hold something different when it comes to that issue in particular. And that's why you would need a shavapruta in our Mishnah, but you wouldn't need it in the other cases. Because remember, our Mishnah was open in terms of which way it could go, right? It could go either,
you would need a shavapruta, you wouldn't. So he's saying, but the other ones 100% didn't need a shavapruta because it says shaminoto, right? Or it said, right? It specifically it said bisachar of this you will be betrothed. Whereas our Mishnah didn't say that, so we could say our Mishnah is different. Why was he pushed into a corner? What was motivating him to say that our Mishnah was different than these Braitot? You know, why did he have to claim that it's number one, you'd have to hold the Yesh L'Schirim Tchila V'Adsof, and you'd have to give her Shabbat Pruta when it doesn't say so explicitly in the Mishnah? So Amarava Matnitin Kashite. The Mishnah was difficult to him. Why? My Iria Detane Almanat Nitne B'Sachar. Why did the Mishnah choose the Lashon Almanat? In other words, what was motivating him? The fact that how I started. The Mishnah says Almanat, which sounds like it's a condition. Doesn't sound like it's with the Sachar, right? If it wanted to say B'Sachar, it would have said B'Sachar. So Shma Mina, call Almanat, Hechad Yav Lahu. Okay, now we can learn from here that anytime it says Almanat, it means he gave her money, and then it was conditioned upon something happening. Okay. New Mishnah. Amanat Shirtze Abba. If he says, I'm going to betroth you on account that my father agrees, okay? Ratza Ha'av Mekudeshet. V'im Lav Eina Mekudeshet. Now, the big debate in the Gemara we're going to get to, the confusing part about this is, how do we know, when do we expect the father's approval? Is it the father approves immediately? What if he doesn't say anything? Do we worry that maybe down the road, right? How many times do people get married, the parents seem happy with it, but later they get upset about things, right? So what if later on his father doesn't think he should have married this woman? Is that going to cancel, right? Which means that they're constantly, right? If you say that it's forever, then they're constantly in this state of not actually being fully married because the condition is never fulfilled. So let's say you say, Amanat Shirtze Abba, Ratza Ha'av Mekudeshet. That's a simple case, right? V'im Lav, Eina Mekudeshet. And if he doesn't want it, then it's not Mekudeshet. Meta'av, let's say the father dies. Harezo Mekudeshet. Well, now, right, we're assuming that the father can't disagree at this point, so it's okay. Meta'ben, what if the son dies? And the assumption is they don't have kids, and does he have to do Yibum? Does she have to do Yibum? You know, the brother have to Yibum with the wife? Milamdim Ha'av Lomar She'eno Rotze. Since the betrothal never took effect because the father never agreed, so now we make him disagree now so that it won't work. So now we have a few, we're going to have to try to, this is going to be very confusing because you'll see these pieces don't all work 100% together. My Almanat Shirtze Abba. What does it mean? Ilema Ada Amar Abba Im. Until the father says yes. Okay? If the father says yes, then you're Mekudeshet. Kol O, the father hasn't said yes, you're not. So that's not going to work very well because Ema Mitziata Meta'av Harezo Mekudeshet. Bahalo Amar In. If you say the father has to say yes, right? That's condition number one. Oh, I got some markers. Okay, fine. If you say the father has to say yes, then what's going to happen? In the case where the father dies, he never said yes. So the betrothal is no good. So you can't say that that's the beginning part. But if you say, Ela Amanat Sheyishtok Abba, okay, it means the father doesn't protest, right? Like he doesn't say anything, he's just quiet. That means it's okay. Well, that doesn't make sense because if you would say the father's silent, me is equated to he agreed, like we always say, Shtika Kahoda'a. If you're silent, it means you agree. So Ema Seifa, it doesn't make sense in the last case because Meitaben Milamdim Ta'av Lomar She'eino Rotze. Meaning that if he had just been silent, we would have assumed, like it didn't do anything, his silence. He has to either say yes or either say no. So we try to tell the father, say no, so that the whole thing will be retroactively canceled and she won't need to do Yibum. So therefore, it seems that the shtika is not valid because here the father was silent and there's still an option, you know, things are still open. Amai, right, v'hashatik, here he was silent. Ella, so therefore it must be Ella Amala Aminat Shelo Yimche Abba. So it must be that there that Aminat Shelo Yimche Abba. The Seifa is as long as the right. It's Aminat that the father doesn't protest. He doesn't actively protest. Okay, so if he doesn't actively, one second, Aminat Shelo Yimche Abba. Right, Right, the seifa is almanat shelo yimche, that he doesn't protest. But if, right, if what it means is, this is the one where you would say, it can go on forever, as long as the father doesn't protest, right? In other words, if a father protests later on, he can retroactively cancel the whole marriage. So that's, or the betrothal. So that's why, in a case where, in the reisha, it would be amanat sheyishtok. He'll just be silent, and that will show that he approved. But in the seifa, it's amanat shelo yimche aba. But if he does moche at some future point, he can cancel. So now the Gemara is going to say, well, that doesn't make sense. Reisha b'chad tama, umitziata v'seifa b'chad tama. You're going to say that the cases are different in the Mishnah. It sounds like it's all one case, and just different options. So Amar Biyana in, yeah, I actually don't have a problem, he says, with saying that the reisha is shelo yishtok and the seifa is shelo yimche aba. What's the difference? If you say yishtok, it means that as soon as he... what's the importance of saying the reisha is yishtok? What does it mean? It means that the time of the betrothal, if the father was silent, that means he agreed. Follow? That the... There's two different, totally different cases. The first case, he says, Almanat shirtze ava means, if you say Almanat that, my father is silent, right? And passively agrees to my betrothal at the time of the betrothal, then it's a good betrothal, right? If the father doesn't say anything, the betrothal is good. But in the later case, it's talking about a different case, where the father said Almanat that my father won't protest at any future point. Follow? And then you would say, well, then tell the father to protest if the son dies. No, it's okay. So now, according to this, you have basically two totally different cases where the almanat in each case meant something totally different. One would apply immediately, one would never, right, would be open for the rest of the father's life anyway. So now, Rabbi Yanai says, I don't have a problem with that, okay? And then Amar Rish Lakish, Mami Nala de Rabbi Yanai. I can even tell you something that kind of proves him. Dachkina no mukmina matnitin betray tama baliba dechad tana v'lo mukmina betray tanai ubachad tama. Better to push, you know, and like when you're struggling with a mishnah that doesn't make sense, better to say it's two different cases, but according to one person's opinion, rather than saying it's two different opinions with one case. So they're saying, right, if you're going to choose one or the other, don't say that the Mishnah, even though it's built as one unit, and sometimes we have a Mishnah that's built as one unit, but they can't work together. So either you could say two different opinions, or you can say it's one opinion, but two different cases. So that's what they'd rather say here. That's why he supports Rabbi Yanai's reading. Okay, now we're going to see a different reading. Rav Yosef Bar Ami Amar, La'olam chad tamahu. It's all one case. Umay, what is the case? Now here we're going to give an in-between case. What it really is both all cases. Almanat shirtze aba. And as he says, sorry, my almanat shirtze aba. Almanat shelo yimche aba mikam v'ad shloshim yom. It's giving it a particular time frame. It doesn't mean, like we saw the first case, we thought it was immediate, right? It means, and it doesn't mean it's forever. It means that when he said it, what he meant was, on account that my father doesn't protest between now and the first 30 days. So now, all the cases are going to be in the middle of the 30 days. So if, right, the first case, let's just read the Mishnah now. Amanat shirtze aba, right, weaning. And he doesn't, right, shelo yimchez, number one we're adding. And from now to the next 30 days. So ratzah av, let's say the father didn't protest after the 30 days have passed, so she's mekudeshet. Vimlav, and if he did protest within the first 30 days, ain't a mekudeshet. Meit ha'av, let's say the father dies within the first 30 days, so she's mekudeshet because he didn't protest. Meit ha'ben, within the first 30 days, then melamdim ha'av, then the father, we tell him, please protest. Okay? So that's how they read. It's a better reading on the one hand. On the other hand, he's adding in this whole time frame issue, which obviously doesn't appear in the pshat of the Mishnah. Okay, now we're going to get to one of those, again, cases of we don't know who she was betrothed to. Okay, nobody knows. Kidashti et biti. The father says, I betrothed my daughter. Now, what's important to point out here, before we even start, there's a very important halacha, and it comes from Dvarim Perakafe Pasuk Tet Zayin, in the middle of the Motzi Shemra case, okay, where, right, a guy claims that she doesn't have betulim. Okay, so, Amar Avianara Elas Kenim, he comes to this Kenim, the father, right, what happens is they take out the betulim of the daughter, and then The father of the daughter says, "Et biti natati laish hazeh liisha vayusne'eha." Right? I gave my daughter to this guy, and he claimed these things about her. And here's the proof that she had betulim. And what they learn from this pasuk is that a father can be. Now, this is a case we're assuming the Mishnah is talking about a case where there were no aiding to the kiddushin. And we're going to say that the father is believed to say that his daughter's betrothed. Okay, his testimony can say that the daughter's betrothed. We'll see later that also a woman can be believed to say, I was betrothed to someone, to call her now an Eshet Ish. Okay, but then there's going to be a whole debate, to what extent do we believe this? Let's say she's accused now of sleeping with somebody else. Can we kill her based on that? That's how far does it go? Okay, so he says, I betrothed my daughter, but Amy Odelamiki Dashia, I don't know to who, right? Imagine how upset the daughter's going to be at her father for this. Uba achad ve'amar ani kidashtia'a, I'm the one, ne'eman. He's believed. Ze amar ani kidashtia'a. Just one second. Okay. Now, ze amar ani kidashtia'a ve'ze amar ani kidashtia'a. This sounds like Shnayim Ochotzi v'Tali, right? Okay? L'havdil. He says, I betrothed her, and he says, I betrothed her. Shneyam notnim get. They both have to give a get. Okay, if they wanted to, once one gives a get, the other one could actually betroth her.
You do it first. No, you do it first.
Right. So, now we're going to get into the details of this in the Gemara. Amar Rav, ne'eman liten get, when we say, let's go back to the first case. He says, I betrothed my daughter, I don't know to who, and this guy comes and says, I betrothed her, we believe him. Now, what does it mean, we believe him? So, Rav says, ne'eman liten get, ve'ein ne'eman lichnos. We believe him enough to say you have to give her a get, but we don't believe him to allow her to actually go through with the marriage now. Okay, remember, this is only kiddushin. Now he has to do nisuin. So why is this? Ne'eman liten get, because ein adam chote velo lo. We assume that a person would only lie to benefit himself. Since he can't, now this is assuming we know the end already, that we don't believe him to allow him to marry her, so therefore he's got no other motivation to say, I'm betrothed to her. It's not going to help him in any way. It's actually a headache for him. Now he's got to give her a get. So therefore, if he's going to be chote and lie, we'd assume he's only doing it for his own sake. Okay, what would it do if he says, I'm the one? This woman right now is stuck. She needs a get from somebody. So let's say his friend wants to betroth her. So he'll say, I'll do it, I'll lie, and I'll say it was me, I'll divorce her, and then you can marry her. Okay? But we assume that a person wouldn't lie for a friend like that. He would only do it for his own sake. And ein ne'eman lichnos, because ema yitzro tukfo, maybe he saw this woman, he saw this was the situation, he said, ah, I'll be the one to do it, and he jumps in, right, and he says, oh, it was me, just so that he could be allowed to marry her, and therefore we don't believe him. So we don't believe him to be able to marry her, but we believe him enough to allow him to give the get, because we see, once we don't allow him to marry her, we know that he's got no ulterior motive.
Does the get come with ketubah money, since there's no written ketubah, but we know that you don't
have to pay? That's a good question. Would he have to pay ketubah money? That's a very good question. I didn't think about that. I have to imagine not in this case.
Because it's a
fake. Right, yeah. Because I'm alav haraya. Maybe she would have to prove 100% that it was him. And
she
right. Right, interesting. That's a very good question. I don't know the answer. Okay, so now, that's Rav. So Rav says he can give her a get. Now, the Kerman HaTanel deals with this. I didn't look it up inside, but it's a good question, which would beg the question, which is, well, once he already divorces her, then can he marry her? In other words, he's not ne'eman lichnos, right? It seems like not, because it seems like we don't allow this guy, because otherwise that's basically allowing him. It's true, he's got to go through a few steps, but it is allowing him. The point in the pshat is, he can't marry her, he has to give her a get, right? But it sounds like he can't even marry her down the road. Anyway, there's a suffix about, you know, what he would really say. Rav Asi amar af ne'eman lichnos. He thinks you actually can betroth her. If you notice, by the way, there's a little gimel there, which shows that we paskin that way. Okay, that he is actually allowed to marry her. Umode Rav Asi. Rav Asi agrees, though, be'omeret nitkadashti, ve'ena yodat lemi nitkadashti. What if the woman herself said, I was betrothed and I don't know to who? Uba acher va'amar kidashtiha, she'ein ne'eman lichnos. In that case, she's not. Okay, now what's the difference? So the difference is that we're concerned, when it's the father, there's also another thing that the guy has in his advantage, the guy who says it was me, that we assume Now, while it's true the father doesn't know who he betrothed him to, if some random guy comes, you know, he might not remember, was it so-and-so or so-and-so. But if some random guy who was never met in his entire life comes up and says, it was me, the father's going to say, you're totally lying, right? No one would have the chutzpah to do that when he knows that the father very well might know that this is definitely not me. But when it comes to the woman herself, there's a concern that what's going on here is a conspiracy. That the two of them were working together, and she says, you go come and say it was you, and I'll, right, and then we'll be able to get married. And therefore, he's not worried that she's going to say, what are you talking about? Because maybe they're working together, okay? And they're not concerned with that with the father. Okay, so it's none. Ratzu echad noten get echad kone. So it said in the Mishnah, right, if they want, one can do a get and one can marry her. Tiyuv to derav. This doesn't work according to Rav, this second part, because Rav said, we don't allow, if they come up front and say, I win the one, we don't believe him because we're worried he's doing it just because he wants to marry her. So how could Rav explain this? Amar lecha Rav. Now remember, Rav said it about the first case where there was only one guy who came forward. So now we're going to say it's different when two guys come forward or one guy comes forward. Shanei hatan dekevan deike echab bahadei irtute mirtat. We're assuming that because there's another guy there, he's going to be scared to lie because he's going to say, well, that guy is claiming it. You know, clearly I'm not going to be the one. So therefore, now you have to make this assumption. There's a little like Shlomo HaMelech, because one guy did lie, right? What they're saying is, we assume you're telling the truth, but what do you mean? Both can't be telling the truth, so how does it work? So they're assuming that the guy who gave her a get is the one who knew that he wasn't really the one. It's like, right, from your actions we can derive, and the one who really wants to marry her must be the one telling the truth. They're assuming that one of them is telling the truth, okay? And therefore, we allow the one who, after someone gave her the get, we allow the other one, if he wants to marry her because we can assume he's the one who's telling the truth. Tanya Kavate de Rav Asi. Now we're going to prove a braita like Rav Asi, who said that he can actually marry her, even in the first case. Kidashtia piti ve'eni yodeh lemi kidashtia. Uba acher va'amar kidashtia. Right, exactly the case of our Mishnah. He betrothed her. He doesn't know to who. Someone comes and says it was me. Af ne'eman lichnos. He's even believed to marry her. Kenasa, okay, so that already proves Rav Asi. If he does marry her, what if, okay, so now, according to this Braita, you're allowed to, okay, that supports Rav Asi. The Braita continued to say, if he did betroth her, and then, ba'acher v'amar ani kidashtia, and then down the road, after they already allowed him to betroth her, someone else comes and says, hey, it was me. This sounds like Yaakov and Esau, right? Lo kol heimenu lo osra alav. If it's already done, then we ignore the last guy. Since we did it beheter, so to speak, right? It was halachically okay. So we ignore what the other guy comes and says. Ha'isha shamranit kadashti, ve'ene yodat laminit kadashti. Again, this case about the woman. She doesn't know who. U'bacher v'amar ani kidashti. And here you see in this braita the exact wording of why she's not allowed, because we're worried that she's covering for him. Right? We've seen this before. Shema yachpel batachoto, and he might try to protect her from getting killed, and he does the hafka kiddushin. There was this whole thing. So anyway, we don't allow him because it could be that she's kind of protecting him, and it's a conspiracy. So now we have a question. Mauliskol al yado. If the father says she's mekudeshet, but I don't know to who, is that enough without edim or anything for us to give her skila? Let's say she goes and sleeps with somebody else. Can we give her skila? Rav Amar ain't so clean. Rav Asi Amar so clean. They have a machloket. Rav says no. Rav Asi says yes. So now we're going to see why. Rav Amar ain't so clean. Why? Because ki hemne rachmana la'av li'isura lakatla lo hemne. When the rabbis said, we believe, now remember, the pasuk said, et biti natati la'ish hazeh li'isha. So what's he saying? This is for Isser Veheter, but it's not for, right, this is to say she's an Eish Adish. But it's not, in terms of that, but it's not to allow her to be killed. Now this is a bit weak, because the continuation of that story is, if she really, it turned out there really weren't, she really had slept with somebody else, and they take her out and they stone her. So it's not exactly, it's a problematic thing to say that it's only for one and not the other. But you could say, this is a gzeret hakachov. In general, we have, Epitina Tatilish Hazed doesn't exactly come to say, we believe him if there's no edim. Here he's not trying to establish kiddushin. Here he's dealing with a case where someone claims she wasn't a betula. So they're taking it out of context. You could say they're just taking it out of context to teach one thing. You could also see how we might not want to use this. We're always hesitant to go killing people if we don't have, you know, good enough proof.
Okay.
So, Rav Asi Amar Soklim, why can we? L'kulei milta hem nerachman ala'av. They believe the Father for everything. I'm Rav Asi, umodina, but I would admit that be'omeret nitkadashti she'ein soklim. But if she says, I was betrothed, ain't so clean. This is based on this principle we've seen before. The ein adam osi atzmo rasha, like no one would turn themselves into a rasha. So if she says it and from that gets killed from it, that we don't believe. But I'm Rav Asi says, hanish matita didi mirpasan igre. These things are, forget it, something like a difficult roof. How does it translate? A what?
Shatter roofs.
Shatter roofs?
Yeah.
Okay.
They seem completely
They shatter roofs, right? They seem totally incomprehensible. Why? Hashta uma b'makom she'im ba lechnos kones amart soklim. In a case, now remember, what are we comparing? The case of the father, we're saying we believe him, right? With the case of the woman, we don't believe, right? We don't believe her to say she could get skila. So now they're going to say, but in the other case, what did we say? In ba lachnos kones, right? In the father case, we allowed him to marry her. And yet we say so clean. So in other words, we're mekel in one way, but yet we're machmir when it comes to skila. And so there we allowed, kind of according to Rav Asi, we allowed the man to marry her, or even the second guy in the second case, right? We allowed at least the second guy to marry her. And then, but you do say that's so clean. So makom she'im ba lachnos ein kones, but if we say in the woman case, the case where we don't allow her to marry this guy, so we don't, what's the issue? If we allow him to marry her, it means we believe. There's some belief going on here. And yet we still say, so clean, right? So if we don't believe anything here, ain't odin she's so clean, so shouldn't we then say, she should get, no, it's actually not like that. Sorry. I'm trying to think of the logic, because the logic could be explained backwards also. Right, because we don't believe her, because we're worried she's doing a conspiracy. Like it's not a good kavah chomer, and they're gonna knock it down. But in ba, what they're trying to say is in ba lachnos, yeah. It's in the first case, if he goes to marry her, we allow it. So therefore, even though we don't know, right, we allow him to do this, right? We're more mekel, basically. Since we're more mekel in the first case and allow him to marry her, and yet we're machmir and say so clean, so in the case where we're machmir, we say the guy who claims he's married to her, betrothed to her, can't marry her, so of course we should be more machmir and say so clean in that case also. So that's why he's saying my halacha is very difficult to think about, because if you make this kavah chomer, it doesn't work out. Okay?
Yafeh.
So that's why I got confused, because what we're looking here is a very, a particular view of it. We're saying, if we're more mekel and yet we're machmir, then we should be more machmir and machmir all the way, right? You understand? That's the way they're looking at it. They're going to knock it down in a minute. It's not really the most logical argument, but if you look at it from one viewpoint, you can make this kal vachomer. That's why it's a little confusing, because you could look at it from many other viewpoints and say, what are you talking about? Vilohi. So now they say, but don't worry, this is not logical, because la'av hemne rachmana l'dida lo hemne. It's very simple. The father they believed, and her they don't believe. That's why in the father case he can marry her, and that's why in the father case she gets skila, because we believe the father. But her, we don't believe at all. So we don't believe her not to allow her to marry the guy. And also, we don't believe her to get skila. Rav Chista amar, echad ze v'echad ze, ein so clean. Okay, Rav Chista says, not with the father, not with her, nobody gets skila. But as Rav Chista l'ta'ame, he goes to Shitato, to am Rav Chista, b'ni ze ben tesha shanim v'yom echad, b'ti zo bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad, ne'aman l'korban avalo l'mako v'lo l'onshin. Okay, here he says the same thing, and we'll stop here for today. Then they're going to just bring a brayta to prove it, which is, let's say you have a kid who was accused of something, right? So we can check, now, was he old enough or not? We can check for simanim. But when we check for simanim, it's after the fact, right? We don't have witnesses. Did he have simanim then? Right? It's very interesting. You never really think about it. But how do we know that the time of the thing? So if the father says, I know the kid had simanim, okay? So what do we say? We believe him when it comes to a korban. Okay, what does a korban mean? Like if you said, I'm going to give the value of him as a korban or something like that, and whether he's a katan or he's a gadol, there's a different amount. Okay, we're going to see in the Braita, it says erchin and charamim and nidarim and all sorts of things like that, but not lamakot and laonshim. But when it comes to punishments, we're not going to. And that goes with what he's saying here. The father's believed to say, I betrothed to the daughter, but not for, right, for the case of saying, well, she's an eshadish, but not if she then went and slept with someone, we wouldn't give her skila. Okay, so we're going to distinguish between, right, certain areas, but not, when it comes to punishments, we're going to be a little more hesitant to take this testimony to actually be meaningful. Which, you know, obviously raises issues about things being all gray, right? In other words, either you're married or you're not married, right? Or betrothed or you're not betrothed. You know, but the halacha doesn't always work that way. It's very much so, well, we'll believe you for something, but we're not going to go all the way and say that you're believed for this. So it actually matches the whole type of Gemara logic of Sfeikot, and, you know, we're going to assume that you're betrothed to be more machmir, but we're not going to assume you're betrothed to actually let you be married to this guy or, you know, or also punish you based on that. Yeah.